shambolic, ridiculous, and a lot of money to have been spent to make such a mistake. They were just some of the reactions from people speaking to RTÉ News yesterday after it emerged that a scanner costing over €124,000 was purchased with taxpayers' money that remains unused 8 years later. In November 2017, the National Gallery purchased this X-ray type system, which is considered important for the care and research of paintings. However, it has since emerged that the gallery didn't have a suitable space to place it, and so the scanner remains switched off. It's understood the National Gallery has been working with the Office of Public Works to find a location for it, but has not found a suitable room to date. This issue puts public spending within the arts sector under the spotlight for the second time this month. The Minister for Arts, Media, Communication, Culture and Sport, Patrick O'Donovan, has said the scanner at the National Gallery will be up and running later this year. And he joins us now to discuss this in more detail. Good morning, Minister. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, this is a long timeline since this scanner was purchased. So when exactly did you find out about this equipment that has never been used?
So I found out about it last week. And one of the jobs that ministers sitting at cabinet have to do is to bring annual reports and sets of accounts of different organisations to the government and make them aware of any issues that are contained within them. So I was told about this scanner last week, as I say, in the immediate aftermath of being told about the Arts Council's €7 million on their ICT programme. And I went across the street to the gallery. I met the gallery leadership. I saw this scanner, which was purchased with taxpayers' money. And I reported yesterday to the government the annual report for 2023 and the set of accounts for the National Gallery. And I made my colleagues aware that the Controller and Auditor General had identified within the accounts this issue, which is not insignificant. It is not small. It is €125,000 of our money that was purchased, that was used to purchase a machine that the gallery said at the time was absolutely fundamental to the workings of the gallery, which was fair enough. I mean, it has a priceless art collection and people would accept the need for equipment to be used to restore, maintain and conserve some of our national collection. No. But however, to have it bought and not used and sitting literally on a pallet in a downstairs room is something that really, you know.
And as you say, bought but not used, but many will be thinking the obvious here. If you buy something, you surely have a place for it. And that was an issue. But did you get a chance to see the original business case when you met with the National Gallery? What have you requested from them? And have you been given enough details about how this error occurred?
So that's what we're in the process of doing at the moment. But look, at the face of it, you know, it seems to me that this was a case of really, really poor project management. Like, you wouldn't buy a horse without having somewhere to stable it. But it seems that this was bought without really any knowledge within the gallery as to where they were going to put it, place it, or use it. And, you know, this is not a light machine, so it weighs a considerable amount, and it's not on every floor it can be placed. Because of the load bearing, and the National Gallery is a historic building and it is a conserved building, so there's a lot of the floors that aren't capable of holding up an instrument of this scale. As well as that, it has an ionising radiation source, so you can't stick it just in any room because there's a risk, obviously, to the operators. But it has to operate under an EPA licence. People have to be properly trained and, you know, to use it. So before any of that was done, or rather, none of that was done, it seems to me, before this machine was bought. This machine was bought in the hope that they would be able to find somewhere to put it into and work backwards. And of course, when you're doing that, you're going to find yourselves in major difficulty. And that seems to me, without having this concluded, that seems to me to be the biggest issue here.
Now, the situation is how to resolve this issue. We understand this machine was deemed essential, but where was the urgency to resolve it will be a question. Now, we understand that the Office of Public Works was liaising with the gallery to find a suitable place. Now we understand that there has been a preferred location. There was mention of a possible porta cabin. So the question will be, is more money now going to have to be set aside for this solution?
No, not from the public person. I mean, you know, I made that very clear within the department. I mean, this was purchased a good few years ago, as you say, and at the time it was an absolute necessity that it be bought for the conservation of art, which is fine. I don't have a difficulty with that. But between the jigs and the reels, they have managed to not even have the ionizing radiation source, which is still in the United Kingdom, brought over here to have
it
switched on.
Is that costing money to be in storage over there?
No. No, I think £700 is the total cost that has been spent since 2017. Now, some of that is related to training, but it's been currently stored. The machine itself is being stored in the National Gallery's basement. So they have room to store, so they're not renting room or anything. They did look at some off-site locations to see if they would be able to use it in some of their existing facilities, and they can't because they're not appropriate.
And so, but look, Minister, can I just ask then, would it be the case, if you're not giving the money then for that porta cabin, but it obviously needs to find that new home, will it be the gallery, or who will be funding that?
So the gallery have their own resources, and they made it very clear to me last week that, I don't know where this word porta cabin came in from, to be honest. But the first I heard of a porta cabin was yesterday in the media. I don't know where the word porta cabin has come from. But the gallery have assured me that out of their own resources, they will be able to house us, and they will be able to have this operable. With regard to the Office of Public Works, the Office of Public Works' only role in this is to provide advices to the OPW or to the gallery, because they own the building, and as well as that, to tell them the suitability or otherwise for the rooms that have to be either lead lined or made sure that no ionising radiation can leak from it. But all of that should have been done, as far as I'm concerned, before this machine was purchased. I worked in industry myself previously, and we purchased a machine akin to something like this in a much smaller scale. And you wouldn't bring a home an instrument of this scale from the UK without at least having the fundamental question, where are we going to put it? And that's what seems to have been the biggest issue here.
Do you believe your department bears any responsibility for this not coming to public attention for 8 years?
Oh, look, as I said with regard to the Arts Council debacle, and this is why I updated my colleagues in government yesterday with regard to the terms of reference of the Arts Council report. My own department is not without question here, and I'm not at all satisfied both in terms of the Arts Council issue and in terms of this issue. And, you know, it is not just a case of piling the blame here on top of the National Gallery, who are principally the procurement agent. My department gave a grant for this piece of equipment to the National Gallery, and it was the Controller and Auditor General that included it in a report that I brought to the Cabinet yesterday, which begs the question, well, where was the oversight from the intervening period, and why didn't somebody ask the question, what are we doing with that machine over in the gallery? Has it been switched on yet?
And so will you be conducting a similar review now at the National Gallery like you are at the Arts Council?
Well, I have to get fundamental questions from the National Gallery, first of all, with regard to when is this thing going to be operable? And they've told me that it will be operable this year. Like, I mean, this was bought by a grant from the department on the premise that it was absolutely critical for the conservation, protection and management of the state's priceless art collection, which one would accept at face value. But 8 years later, not even to have the lamp in Ireland or to have it switched on doesn't seem to me to have been so critical, because I haven't been reading any reports off of the newspapers that are off of the media that our gallery is, you know, at death's door.
And
we've bought it and it has to be used.
And as you say, it has to be used. But Paul Davis, you might have heard him earlier, a lecturer in strategic procurement. He mentioned earlier that more resources really need to be assigned to the Controller and Auditor General, as well as being critical of the overall project management of these public projects. Is that something that will be considered now by the government in light of this latest spending error?
Well, I, to be honest about it, I was a member of the Public Accounts Committee. I'm a big fan of the work that the CNAG does. I've always maintained that, you know, that the work that the CNAG is critical. Like, there's a lot of things that happen in hospitals, in schools, in public services all over the country that the Minister of the day couldn't possibly, you know, be across. I mean, how many blood pressure monitors did the HSE buy? The Minister of the day is not going to know that. So the CNAG does really valuable work. Beefing it up, I would absolutely think is a good idea. And I also think, and I've said it previously, the role of the CNAG, for instance, with regard to the local authority sector, is something that should be looked at. But with regard to this issue specifically, I've been given an assurance by the gallery that they don't require any additional public monies, because they have their own resources and they will be able to house it and have it operable this year.
And Minister, just briefly, can I ask you, because of course the Dáil Reform Committee meeting later today, do you expect commotion or a resolution around this?
I'd expect resolution because, to be fair to Mary Butler, she has devoted her whole time since she was appointed as government chief whip to making sure that every person's mandate in the Dáil is respected. My mandate as a government TD is no less or no greater or no less important than someone sitting on the opposition. And if you're a government backbencher at the moment, it is well enunciated, and you ask any government backbenchers and those who support the government have been, in many cases, whether it's in relation to statements or in relation to questions, have been frozen out. And, you know, that is something that has to be addressed. It is addressed in other parliaments. Members of government, government backbenchers, can ask the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom a question on Prime Minister's questions. And if we're going to modernise the Dáil and bring the Dáil into 2025, then I don't see why people would be against extending the level of franchise that people in the opposition have to people in government. And at the moment, that is not the case. And that, Mary Butler is doing a very good job.
And that will be all up for discussion today. The Minister for Arts and Fine Gael TD, Patrick O'Donovan, thank you very much for speaking to us.